Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Nicola Everett.
Hello, hope you're okay on Wednesday, September the 17th. Thanks ever so much for downloading today's podcast. Coming up, hear from an international relations expert as President Trump starts his second state visit to the UK. The first cohort of doctors graduate from the Kent and Medway Medical School, and the fight to have international trains stopping in Kent once again takes another step forward. But first up today, this is our most read story on the website. Parents have hit out at a secondary school in Medway after their daughters were singled out over the length of their skirts. Now, some pupils at 100 of Who Academy have been told their hemlines fall above the knee and have been removed from class. Well, Lucy joins me now with more on this one. And Lucy, a parent, has been in touch with us about it.
That's right. Cola Glennie says her 12-year-old daughter Pearl was hysterical after being told to remain in the main hall because her skirt was too short. She's not the only parent who's angry about it. A number of contacted Kent Online or posted on socials to say their children have missed class over the issue. Cola claims the school have put the length of her skirt ahead of her mental health. She and her daughter Pearl have been chatting to us about what happened.
I've got two children at 100 of Who Secondary, and in the school shop in August, I paid £240 for their uniforms because they've got a new uniform as well. So it's a Lee Academy one now, which they didn't say that they had to have. But Pearl, especially, she was very worried about going in her old uniform because she was worried that, is she allowed to go back in that uniform, even though I told her that she was. So I then paid out the expense just so she didn't have that worry, like so that she had the right uniform. So I ended up spending about £240 on uniform. And especially the skirt that I've brought is from the school shop that they told me, like that they, do you know what I mean, that they say to buy this uniform from. So it's not even from Asda or Sainsbury's, it's from the school shop.
It just made me feel a bit dirty, if you kind of understand. It's kind of like I was judged by my appearance, even though it wasn't sort of my fault. Like, I couldn't make my skirt any shorter. I mean, longer, sorry. And it was really, I don't know, really, it was very embarrassing because there was the whole of the school there, like, all the teachers, all, like, the students, and I had to, and I got singled out by lines and that, and I was just pressured on having to go sit in a room with no communication. I couldn't go to get food or a drink or anything, so it kind of made me feel a bit dirty because I couldn't, like, I was just being judged. But yeah, it was not my fault, but apparently I got told that I had to roll it down, but it wasn't rolled, so I just got judged. And it was above my knee, like 6 centimetres, and a male teacher said it was too short, and I felt really uncomfortable why a man was looking at me like that, because I know he's just trying to do his job, but at that point I felt very, like, manipulated. Like, I was very stuck in that situation because I couldn't say nothing, otherwise I would have got in trouble.
I don't think that I'm going to send her back to the school. I think mental health is more important than a uniform, so she doesn't feel safe going back, and I don't want to put my child in an environment where she doesn't feel safe. So I will probably make the decision not to send her back, if I'm honest. There is another school that I have been looking at, but it's from year 9. So if I do that, go along that road, then we will homeschool for a year and just get a tutor, and then she'll go into this new school in year 9. So hopefully that's how it'll work.
So, Lucy, how long are the skirts supposed to be?
Well, the school says they have to be an acceptable length. They've told us a small number of pupils whose uniform was below expectation but not unreasonable were allowed to remain in lessons. Meantime, other pupils were offered replacement uniform from school supplies. But that's led to some claiming the school is being run like a military camp and education isn't being put first.
And the school is part of the Lee Academy's Trust. Is that right?
Yes, and they've defended their policy, saying the uniform creates a positive learning environment. We're told they received a number of calls from parents who are supportive, with the majority of students not having a problem. They also refute claims staff have been measuring skirts. In a statement, bosses say, to help families, we recently changed our policy so that parents could purchase skirts from a wide range of high street retailers rather than only through a uniform shop. This means that suitable skirts are more accessible and available in a variety of fits. In this specific case, we will be contacting the parent directly to offer support and to help source an appropriate skirt that meets the Academy's requirements.
Lucy, thanks ever so much. Well, we'd love to know what you think. You can see pictures of the skirt in question by clicking on the story at Kent Online, and you can also take part in our poll. We're asking, should students be taken out of lessons for wearing skirts deemed too short under school uniform rules? Well, at the time of recording today's podcast, 60% of you are saying yes. Do you agree or not? We'd love to know. Go onto the story and click on the poll to vote.
Kent Online News.
A Rochester man has appeared in court accused of killing a 91-year-old in an e-bike crash. It happened on City Way on July the 6th. The pensioner was putting out his bins when he was struck by the bike on the pavement. 50-year-old Clifford Cage from the Fairway denies charges of manslaughter and causing bodily harm. He'll go on trial next year. A Gillingham man has been sent to prison for 16 years for carrying out a sex attack on a young girl. George Payne Woodham's crimes were uncovered after the victim came forward following a safeguard assembly at school. The 21-year-old from Grange Road denied the allegations. He's also been given a sexual harm prevention order and will be required to sign on the sex offender register indefinitely. More details are due to be revealed later after a fatal shooting at a pub in Kent on Valentine's Day. Lisa Smith died after being targeted in the car park of the Three Horseshoes in Knockholt near Sevenoaks. The body of her husband was later recovered from the River Thames. An inquest into their deaths is due to be held at Oakwood House in Maidstone. Now, protests have taken place at the start of Donald Trump's second state visit to the UK. Earlier, giant projections showing the US president alongside disgraced financier Jeffrey Epstein were beamed onto Windsor Castle. Today, Mr. Trump will meet King Charles and the Queen. There'll be a royal banquet tonight, and he'll meet with the Prime Minister tomorrow. Dr. Sarah Lieberman is a reader in politics and international relations at Canterbury Christchurch University, and she's been chatting to Kate about the possible implications of the trip.
Some of the more positive outcomes could be alterations to the tariffs that Donald Trump has put on British goods. So since he came to the presidency again, which is still less than a year ago, he's implemented extra trade tariffs on most countries. Britain has big tariffs, 25% on cars, car parts, aluminium and steel, and 10% on all other goods going into the USA. Now, the USA is the UK's biggest trade partner, and so that could be quite damaging as consumers start to buy fewer UK cars, fewer UK car parts, aluminium, steel, etc. So we do have here a possibility to perhaps renegotiate that with Donald Trump, although he's made it quite clear that he doesn't see room for negotiation there. And as I heard somebody say yesterday, all that we can possibly do is argue for a less bad deal. There is no good deal coming out of the USA at the moment. There's discussions to be had regarding NATO as well, and the security situation in the world at the moment, which famously Donald Trump said that when he came into the presidency to this term, he would end the war in the Ukraine. And he would fix the security situation in Israel. And he has done neither so far. So I suspect that Keir Starmer and perhaps the royals as well, although they try not to become so involved in politics, but they will be wanting to have discussions about those security issues and trade issues. King Charles has always been very interested in environmental issues as well. He's always campaigned for environmental issues, organic farming, etc. And this is not something that Donald Trump is interested in at all. He has pulled the USA out of big environmental deals, of the intergovernmental conferences on climate change. And I suspect King Charles might want to discuss that with him.
As you say, it's quite a turbulent time in global politics at the moment, and we are expecting that he's going to get a mixed reaction from the British public. Is it as much of a display for I know it's important for international relations between the UK and the US, but is it as much of a display for the rest of the world as well to show that relationship is still intact?
Yes, it will be. It's a show to mainland Europe. It's a show to the EU. It's a show to Russia that we're still allied with the USA. With the security situations going the way they are, and with Peter Mandelson having been taken out of his ambassadorial role in the USA, it is a turbulent, turbulent time. And the future of this special relationship between the UK and the USA could be in question. Is this still as special as it previously was? Do we want to be aligned with the politics that we're seeing in the USA at the moment? What is the future of that relationship without NATO? In terms of security, what is the future politically with the USA pulling out of its international agreements on environmental issues, climate change? Where does that leave us in terms of a true political relationship and a friendship and allyship that we've had since the Second World War? So there's questions to be answered by both sides, and it's something that the rest of the world will be looking on to see what happens next. The UK-US relationship has always been at the very heart of Western liberal democracy, and if that changes, the world is going to be looking.
Kent Online reports.
An Ashford man who controlled his partner's phone, demanded to know where she was, and manipulated her has been jailed for a second time. Ryan Orford tried to convince his victim that a previous conviction in 2022 for stalking and controlling behaviour was based on lies. The 28-year-old from Arlington has been locked up for 35 months and given a 10-year restraining order. Motorists are urging roads bosses in Kent to rethink 12 weeks of lane closures on Bluebell Hill after days of gridlock traffic. Drivers have been reporting disruption of up to 2 hours following the closures of the A229. KCC have apologised but say the work is vital for an improvement scheme which will deliver long-term benefits for traffic in the area. Meantime, businesses in Sittingbourne claim they've lost thousands of pounds as ongoing roadworks cause delays in the town. Work started on the Grovehurst roundabout between Wade and Kemsley 2 years ago, and it's not due to finish until the new year. The Swale Way approach road is currently closed to traffic this week, but the people carrying out the work say traffic management plans are regularly monitored and reviewed. We've asked the council for a comment too. Now, the first cohort of doctors will be graduating today from the Kent and Medway Medical School. It opened in 2020 and is the county's first facility of its kind. Amelia Townsend is one of today's graduates and is working at Margate QEQM Hospital. She's hoping it'll help pave the way for others.
Being a first cohort is always difficult because there's no one sort of leading the way before you to be able to sort of ask, how does this work? How do I do that? So I think there was a few times where we'd find ourselves sort of in a situation where we were like, well, we don't really know what we're doing here. But actually, we were able to say that to the medical school, and the staff were able to say, actually, we're not really sure either because this is the first time we've done it. So let's work on this together and make it the best we can make it.
And do you feel that collaborative approach has really improved things for the cohorts that follow on behind you?
I like to think so. I hope that we've managed to make a difference. I think there are certain things, sort of certain big things that have changed. And I like to think they've changed for the better. I haven't experienced the change, so I don't know for sure. But yeah, I like to think we have made some changes that have positively impacted the years below.
Now, you mentioned before that so you're currently at Margate's QEQM. Was it always the plan? So once you came here and sort of you fell in love with Canterbury and Kent, was it always the plan to stay in Kent?
No, probably not. I'm from Devon, which is quite far away. So I kind of came to Kent. It's quite similar to Devon in some ways. Came here without really a further plan other than this is cool. I'm going to go to med school and I'm going to end up as a doctor. And then it came to fifth year and it came to deciding where do you want to go? Where do you want to do your training? How are you going to rank everywhere? Because we rank everywhere in the UK. And I kind of had to take a step back and think realistically, what are my priorities? Is it location? Is it jobs? Is it support? What do I want? And decided that actually, I do like Kent. I was in Margate for my final year of med school and Margate is amazing. It's a lovely place. It's a lovely hospital. All the teams in the hospital are so nice that I thought, actually, I think the priority for me would be going somewhere that I feel comfortable in, because it's quite a big change from med school to being a doctor, and actually being able to be somewhere where you know and you're comfortable and you know you'll have a good time was quite a big thing for me. So, yeah, it made it an easy choice to pick Margate.
Bosses at the medical school hope it'll also address a shortfall of doctors across the region.
Kent Online reports.
Aldi's announced plans to spend £23 million on its stores in Kent over the next 2 years. The supermarket giant says changes will be made to meet growing demand for affordable groceries, with some sites being expanded. It's planning on hiring for 135 roles in the county and wants to open stores still in Tunbridge Wells and Gravesend. Councillors in Swale are due to meet tonight to discuss what they think about plans to reorganise local authorities. The government wants local authorities to have a simpler structure going forward in a bid to make decision-making easier and save money. The KCC leaders suggesting there's just one unitary authority covering the whole of the county, while bosses in Medway think four would be better. Proposals have to be submitted later this year. A group of MPs have handed a letter into the rail regulator calling for changes to be made so new international trains can stop at Ashford. You may recall that Eurostar services haven't called at stations in the county since COVID, and there's a campaign to allow other operators to use the high-speed route. But there's an issue, and it's over capacity at a rail depot in East London, which is currently used by Eurostar. MPs want the Office of Rail and Road to make more room available. Local Democracy reporter Ollie Leader has been speaking to Ashford MP Sojan Joseph.
It's good to see so many of my colleagues joined my campaign to bring back international travel back to Ashford. It is very important for Ashford and the whole region. As we heard about the economic benefits, I'm asking the Office of Road and Rail, who is going to make a decision about the use of Temple Mills Depot and access to these stations, to make a decision based on social, economical and environmental factors, so that my constituents do not need to travel all the way to St Pancras to make a journey back.
And how receptive were they? Because obviously it was an unprompted visit. How receptive were they to your visit today?
So this was a second meeting. We had a meeting with them previously in the Parliament. Today we were handing a letter. They were very welcoming. They are going to make a decision, and our plea is to consider to end the monopoly of one operator and invite other operators to bring some competition in this international rail market. So many people would love to see getting onto a train from Ashford.
When will a decision be made? In the next month, I take it?
The decision will be made before the end of October. So it is very imminent. So that's why today it's very important that we all MPs come together to hand in this letter.
What would be a good outcome from the rail regulator on this? What would be an acceptable arrangement in terms of their regulatory powers?
So this is not going to be a quick fix. This is going to take time. So I would expect the ORR to make a decision next month to another operator to operate in this sector who is willing to stop in Ashford. That's the priority. But this, the first step will be for them to make a decision to allow another operator to come and operate.
We will, of course, keep you updated on that campaign and any future developments. Plans have been unveiled for more than 700 new homes in Mepham. Developers are keen to build on land off Camer Road, and a report looking at the environmental impact it would have has been submitted to the council. If approved, we're told the development would also include a two-form entry primary school. People in Herne Bay are calling for a former sports field to be brought back into use rather than built on. The old hockey pitch and tennis courts on Beacon Road has been allocated for a 32-home estate. A protest has taken place at the site after it was included in the council's latest draft local plan. A nursery business in Tenterden, meantime, is looking to expand and move to a new site with its current base earmarked for 250 homes. Hopes Grove Nurseries has been running for more than 30 years on land off Small Hythe Road in Tenterden. The site has been included in Ashford Borough Council's local plan. It's not known yet where the nursery will be moving to. And finally, Kent's had another royal visit. Princess Anne's been in the county visiting HMP Swaleside on Sheppey as patron of the Butler Trust, a charity which works to promote excellence in UK prisons, probation and youth justice. She also opened a new affordable housing development in Edenbridge just days after the Princess of Wales paid a visit to a textiles company in Medway.
Kent Online Sports.
Athletics first up, and Kent's Dean Rasher-Smith is due in action at the World Championships today. The 29-year-old from Bromley goes in the 200-metre heats in Tokyo. It follows her eighth-place finish in the 100 metres over the weekend. On to tennis, and Kent's Emma Raducanu is due to play in the Korea Open. Her first-round match against Romania's Jacqueline Christian was delayed yesterday because of rain. And in cricket, Kent are due to continue batting on day three of their county championship match against Leicestershire. The home side declared on 459 for 7 in Leicester yesterday. Kent are due to resume on 17 without loss in their first innings. Don't forget, this is their penultimate game of the season. Well, that's all from us for today. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget, you can follow us on socials. Plus, you can get details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via the briefing. To sign up to that, you just need to head to kentonline.co.uk. And whilst you're on the website, you can also sign up to Kent Online Premium. That gives you access to content with fewer ads and exclusive stories. And if you use the promo code Nicola Everett, all one word at the checkout, you'll get £30 off the price of an annual subscription.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast.